Still my greatness. I done been 0 to 100 real quick and back to 0 again. I done played every mob boss in the city like Robert De Niro in there. Fuck the suckers, tired of hearing from them. 40 hit him at a damn an inch. I am not the type of player.
Razor sharp.
Shoot my shot, bitch, I rarely miss. Why don't do one familiar conversations? If we ain't acquainted, I'm out of that. I got too many niggas who powder trap to be speaking on freely around a rap. Tatted legend on me, figured it was fitting since a nigga can't die. Can't die. Stand up guy, why lie? I can damn near fly. You can say that I'm legendary. Look at my bitch and she gorgeous. She do a thing in Adidas, but boobies and booty look best in couture shit. I'm in the caddy and floor shit. Only do dirt with my whole bitch. Real winners play the long game. When you first it, don't matter the score is. Motherfucker, I've been broke down to my last, but this shit here legendary. Thank you.
You know, so it's just like people need that, and you know, these kids are running in the wrong directions, they're going with gangs, they're falling into drugs. Like, the drug thing is so scary to me because it's like, how do you guys know about these drugs? You know, like,
right,
serious drugs. It's not just like weed anymore.
Definitely a different time.
When we were younger, they're like into some serious shit. You know, yeah, about the kids that are stealing cars and just, man, it's like crazy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I think that's really amazing what you're doing. Just keep up the good work, and I'm gonna hand you a whole bunch of kids that I know that need some help.
For sure.
Them, just do something
for sure, man. You know, it's crazy because as many DMs or messages I get from, I believe it or not, man, I get messages from, I've gotten messages from as far as Africa, like, you know what I mean?
Oh,
asking questions like, what can I do with my kid? Like, you know what I mean? Like, how do I, and to be honest, man, let me tell you this, right? It's never See, I think people got it twisted. They feel like you change somebody or you change a kid. You never really change a kid. You never change anybody. What you is, you just hold up a mirror and show them who they really are, and you help nurture and cultivate that individual when they come up. But in order for that to happen, they have to decide in their mind that they're ready to be cultivated. And if they're not ready to be cultivated, you're not going to be able to hold up that mirror and nurture that at all. It's just going to be, they're going to be there till they're ready. So it's never about changing a young people or anything. I just show them who they really are inside and help them bring that person forward.
I love that. That's like letting them reach their full potential.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a mentor growing up, or when did you have your first mentor?
I didn't know what the legal term of mentorship was, so I went to jail. Okay. However, and my mentors was my older homies. You know, it was the ones in the neighborhoods, was usually every young person of color growing up in that environment. That's their mentors. And they teach you what they tend to know, right? And so that's why as I got older and I awakened to a degree, I realized that a lot of older people out there, we get mad at them. They're just showing us what they know. You know what I mean? Go get some money, okay?
Yeah.
Go sell some dope. I'm about to teach you how to write a resume. Yeah. You know what I mean? Protect yourself. I care about you. Here's a gun. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're showing you what they know. They don't know they're doing wrong. They're just giving you the best tools to survive. Those are my mentors.
Yeah, from their situations and where mm-hmm. they're from. And yeah, I definitely I get that. So I, like, you do motivational speaking, kind of.
Inspirational speaking.
Inspirational. What's the difference?
Okay. Please tell us the difference. Okay. Now I need to know. Because he corrected you too fast. He was like, hold on. There's a difference, baby.
Okay, so all right, look. Motivational is more of a thing where I can talk to you and get you to go do something for the moment, right? If I tell you I'm gonna motivate you, hey, bro, you need to get up, go wash your butt because you smell, go do it right now, wash that, you know what I mean? You're gonna smell better right after it, okay? And that's motivation. You might get up for that moment and go shower and everything, and then if I'm not there the next day, it might not happen, right? Inspiration is to evoke a type of an emotion so strongly that you're willing to get up and go make it happen yourself.
That's like, right? I like that.
Okay. You know what I mean? And so that's the difference between motivation and inspiration.
I like the fact that you knew that offhand.
Yeah, appreciate it.
I had no idea.
I appreciate it. You know,
I had no idea.
Nah, you know what's funny, bro? I was because I took Toastmasters when I was in prison, right?
What is Toastmasters?
Toastmasters. Oh my God, it's fire. Nobody knows what Toastmasters is? I love it. Look, I'm still a salesperson for Toastmasters. Right? Listen, bro. So Toastmasters, it's a program, it's a nonprofit program, right? They offer it in different places where you're incarcerated, but they also have it in the community. Oprah's been through Toastmasters, Will Smith, all these different major people that speak been through Toastmasters. And what they do is they teach you how to public speak and they teach you leadership. The way that they do that is you come in, in your 1 hour, 1.5 hour group, they give you something called table topics, where you got to walk up and I'm going to pick a random word and you got to spit for 60 seconds on that word. You know what I mean? And then you pick your track. Do you want to become a dynamic speaker? Or do you want to be a politician, whatever the case may be? And you do speeches from the beginning, 3 to 5 minutes, then 7 to 10 minutes, then 10 to 15 minutes, then 20. And as you're developing and practicing speeches, they're giving you constructive criticism. And next thing you know, after like 6 months to a year, you're this phenomenal speaker and you're able to speak at the drop of a hat. And you have these different leadership skills. I wouldn't have been able to run a business if I wasn't in prison running a Toastmasters group. You know what I mean? So that's what Toastmasters is. And what I, now back to what it was when I said Toastmasters, how I learned about the difference between motivation and inspirational, right? One day I was sitting there and I'm on my cell and I'm thinking like, man, I feel like sometimes I talk to these individuals and they get up and do it for a day and the homies go right back to what they're doing. You know what I mean? And then I'm like, well, how do I get longer? How do I stop motivating? Like, is that just the motivational? And I was like, wait, what's inspiration? So I went and I really went in the dictionary and I read it. And then I started asking questions. I'm like, okay, there's a difference between the two. I'm motivating them. I'm not inspiring them. I'm here with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Somebody on the comments on Instagram said, yeah, I had an ex in Toastmasters and they're dope.
Nice. Yeah,
so, oh, big so shout out. Thank you.
So shout out Toastmasters. Can other people mm-hmm. join that, or is it just like for people?
Yes, definitely. So during COVID, they closed down a lot of in-persons. They started doing video. However, I think they have one in Tacoma. They have in Puyallup. And they have different sectors. That's what's so dope about it, right? They have a real estate Toastmasters, bro. They have a banker's Toastmasters. Oh, okay. Then they have general.
So it's a different business.
Yeah, bro. You could literally put yourself in a group of individuals that's focused on one thing. Like, and just get up in there and make it happen. So it's a great networking opportunity. Too.
Yeah, that's really dope. If you're out there listening right now on Instagram, YouTube, or Facebook, Toastmasters. We're getting some gems today right now. Yeah, we're getting some gems for real.
So, inspirational speaker. You have written 3 books. 2 of them are published already.
3 of them are published.
All three of them are published. Where's the third one? That's the third one.
Yeah.
So
that's my like secret baby. Nobody really knew that was coming.
So the second one is, not the secret baby. Too many babies. No. Everyone's laughing and laughing. Someone is somewhere tripping. Someone is extremely tripping right now.
I'm
sorry to that girl.
Oh, man,
okay,
bro.
So you have the first one, which was Prolific Hustle.
Nope.
No. What was the first one?
Oh, man, where you been at, man?
I'm trying to get educated. The first one was?
The first one's the one that built the business. That's the first one. That's the platform. Pro Say, the Art of Becoming More. That's what I wrote on House Arrest.
Okay. Say the title again?
Yes.
Pro Say, the Art of Becoming More.
The Art of Becoming
More. And then Prolific Hustle was second.
Prolific Hustle was the second one.
And then the Second Chance, Second Guide is the third one.
Third one, yeah.
Okay. What's the third one?
This one right here.
What's it called?
The Second Chance Success Guide.
Second Chance Success
Prescription
Guide.
To Recidivism.
Yeah, I like that.
So the first one you wrote while you were in prison?
Oh, I wrote when I was on house arrest.
House arrest.
Yep. So they had an early release program that they started out. I was like one of the first people to get on it, where they give you house arrest for 6 months or house arrest and work release for a year. You get out a little early in your sentence. So I was on house arrest and I wrote
a book.
Yep. It's so crazy though. It wasn't a big plan to write a book. You know what I mean? It was more of, I felt like I was working for the Urban League, and I was like, man, I wanna come in with something physical. You know what I mean? To show people like I'm serious about what I do. You know, and whatever that was, I didn't know what it was gonna be. You know, but I was like, I need to do something. And I wrote it out, literally started like this. Anybody want to write a book? This is literally how I started writing the book, right? Because a lot of people ask me that. I was sitting there and I said, okay, what's gonna be my main topic? I want to do some self-help. So automatically, when you say self-help, you got to decide to say F you in a way, right? Because it can't just be about you. You know what I mean? You can't just talk about your whole life and everything about you because it's about helping somebody else. Right. So I was like, okay, well, how do I extract my life lessons and still make it a self-help without making it about me? So anyway, it was going to be a self-help book. And I was like, okay, what are the major topics I want to cover? I picked 10 chapters, 10 topics. And then from there, I went to the first one and wrote my first thing. Those 3 steps, bro. And so after that, I got the book.
How long did it take you to write that book?
9 months.
Wow. I feel like it would take me years to write a book.
You know, it's crazy. The second one took me 2 years.
Okay.
But the reason why is because like writing the book's not the difficult part. It's about having the discipline to stay consistent and diligent doing it with everything going around in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the first book you wrote on house arrest, you were in prison. I have a quote here that I got off of something where I did my research on you.
Oh.
5 minutes cost me 7 years of my life because I made a permanent decision off of a temporary emotion.
Say that into the mic one more time for everybody, because that's a good one.
5 minutes cost me 7 years of my life because I made a permanent decision off a temporary emotion.
Yeah. Yes.
I feel like that happens a lot. Mm-hmm. And it ultimately changed your life and for the better. Mm-hmm. So you went to prison. How long were you in prison?
First of all, did you see the crazy stuff that went off about that quote with the dude stealing and everything?
I'm gonna get to it.
Okay, I was like, hold up, disclaimer.
I also want to start off by saying it didn't change it for the better, but he found better out of the bad that happened because of the bad decisions he made.
Yes,
right.
It changed ultimately for the better.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I get what you're saying.
I just don't like that. Was like, yeah, nigga.
Because prison didn't change. All right. You said how long? I was in there for 5.5 years.
Yes.
Yeah, that one hurt. I ain't going to act like it didn't. That was a stretch.
Yeah. And then you were able to get out early, like some kind of
program.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then you wrote your book. Did you start public speaking right away?
Did I start in a way? Yeah, I did. I got on virtual first.
Okay. Is that one of the things that helped get you like a reduced sentence?
No. The thing that it wasn't really a reduced sentence. It was the thing that helped me get out on that program is I wasn't getting into any trouble.
Okay.
You know, and so I was qualified for the last part of it. I was sitting there doing my time. You feel me? and I wasn't running around like I did in the past, in a sense. This is my, that was my second time. We'll get to that, right? I was different this time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to think what else was I gonna say. I lost it. 5 years, you wrote the book, and originally you are from what area?
Born or raised?
Like, where were you raised and born?
Oh, I was raised in Central District.
Okay, so you're born in the CD. Do you feel like where you're from had a big impact on, like, what made you go to prison, or like the people you were around?
The environment, definitely. You know, I was, let me double back, because I got to shout out to my Yesterday. I grew up in Yesterday's projects, right? I'm from the CD.
Okay.
You know, geographically would be the same thing, but streetwise, those are two separate, they separate them.
This is Seattle, right?
Yeah, yeah, Seattle, okay, right?
What was the first, what you said the projects
was? Yesterday's.
Okay.
Yesterday's projects, you know. You know, that's where I was coming up. I went into the heavy gang life in the Central District, even though they're really on the same, they share the same street, you know. But yeah, definitely, the environment definitely had a big impact on my life. Like, you know, it was coming up, you know, it was in the 90s when the gangs was really starting to flesh out. And even though I was a little boy, that's what I was seeing.
Yep.
So I'm coming out the house and, you know, homegirls smoking dope right there. Our dog just got shot, killed over there. You know what I mean? You're stepping over. Cash getting knocked out, Clucks getting, you know, knocked down and everything. And you're just seeing all that. And the way that it affected me was it made me numb to violence, right? Even though I wasn't necessarily a violent person, right? The environment encouraged me to be more like what it was. Because in that type of thing, as we may know, is you're going to be prey, you're going to be predator, right? And if you decide to be prey, you're going to walk around with your tail tucked all the time and have a bad situation. And initially, I was like that. When I was little, you know, I was like that. And eventually I was like, okay, I can't take this no more. This don't feel right. You know, and kind of turned up a little bit.
Okay. When you were growing up, did you live with your mom? Who did you live with?
I was raised with my grandmother. Okay. Yeah.
And I bet your grandma's very proud of you right now.
Yeah, yeah, she's dope, man. She always come at me for something now.
I mean, she's very, very proud of you right now.
Yeah, she is.
And to be able to go back to the community that raised you and help other kids has to be like the biggest flex. I think that's really dope. How many kids are in your mentor program right now?
I think the last we just counted was about 146.
Shit, sorry. That's a lot of badass kids.
Yeah, there's a lot of 146. Now, some of them have improved to the where you don't have to be heavily engaging on them as much as anymore. They're more of like checking in, sending you that we just went to a graduate. We just went to like six of them just graduated from high school. And then a couple of them are off in college now. Some of them are, they've moved away, you know. And then some of them are still active. You know, that we're like, you know, kind of massaging.
Yeah, they need a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And that's, I was not expecting that number. And just that amount of children who are from all different walks of life, all different households, ethnicities, backgrounds, for them to even like want to be a part of something like
that. Grown man business.
Right, because a lot of it has to be something to where it's like, okay, I really relate to these people. Like when I was growing up, there wasn't a lot of people that I related to.
Right.
So, and you kind of got like a cool swag about you. You dress nice. You're not like super, I feel like when people are like inspirational or motivational speakers, they're like super, like not relatable. I would never take advice from Mary Sue, you know, that never even grew up a minute in my shoes, you know, and she wants to take me to get pizza and fucking cupcakes. Like, I just see my homie get shot on the corner, bitch. You don't understand what's going on here.
That part.
So I think that's very important that they have people that they see and they're like, hey, this is like somebody that I would know, somebody that I could talk to, somebody I could trust.
You know where I learned that? That skill that I had, that skill. Oh, big shout out to Gary. He called me that's why I used to go by a rap name, Cherry Black. Cherry Black. Big shout out to my guy, Gary, man. But I learned that, actually, to be honest with you, I learned that in Pierce County Jail. You know what I mean? And so, and I'm going to tell you why I learned that, right? Because when I got booked in Pierce County Jail for getting into it with some cash from there, you know, I was like, okay, there's going to automatically be issues, right? But when I came, now being all the way honest, I got more love in Pierce County Jail than I do in King County. That's because I wasn't a part of the politics, right? So then that gave me leverage. So then I wasn't part of the politics. What started happening was I was just this cool cat from Seattle. You know what I mean? And I started building relationships with these 19, 19, 20, 21-year-olds in there, right? And I started being like, man, little bro, because I was facing a life sentence, right? I was facing 140 years. And they had me dead to rights. Caught me across the street with the guns in the car, on camera, all this stuff, right? But I started talking to these young folks. I'm like, hey, little bro, like, how about if you read this book, I'll shoot you a honey bun, right? I'll shoot you a honey bun, bro. You know, I mean a lot when you lead on me. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I started making spreads for them, giving them soups. Like, hey, bro, if you build out a vision plan, I'll give you make you a spread or something, all these kind of different things, right? And what I started learning is, okay, they're looking past to where I'm from. It don't even matter. I'm just somebody that's rocking with them.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And so I took that skill out more. So recently, actually a few weeks ago, I was out in this parking lot over at the after hours spot, right? And there was these like, oh, you know, these young cats, they look like, you know, masked up. I'm telling
please
you,
get out of here.
They're like poo shites, little homies. Like, hey, on God. But I walks over and I was like, oh, what's good with you guys? Where y'all from? Automatically, you say where you're from. That's defense mode. I'm from, something. And automatically, I'm like, oh, wait, nah, it's not even like that. I just seen you guys over here and I respect my young brothers. I want to talk to you. And just chop it up. And we started popping. They were like, oh, I went to Green Hill. I never been to prison. I'm like, yeah, woo, woo. And I kid you not, after we shook hands, they were like, I gave them my card, right? And they were like, hey, bro, before you go, I want to make sure to say thank you for stopping and talking to us.
Grown man.
These little kids with masks on, fat thing on. They was happy to have somebody stop and talk to them.
Yeah, because people are probably like, don't.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So anybody can do that if you can do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's about relationship. That's what they want. They want to be loved on. They want to be acknowledged.
Absolutely. They want to feel like they matter.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like even just growing up as a young Black girl, I just always wanted to feel like I mattered in a world that made me feel like I didn't because where I was from or how I looked or, you know, so I think that's very important that you reach out to the youth. And I think that's really cool. And 146 kids, that's a lot. I was not expecting that many. That's a lot.
Hey, you take
them on field trips. I see that you involve them in your social media. You have them drop gems for, you know, for videos for social media. I think that's really cool too. Have you ever had a really difficult kid that it just took a really long time, but you ultimately got them to like trust you and they became vulnerable and now they're like, you have like that one or two or you don't have to say their name or anything.
Yeah. I got one that I'm actually working with right now, man. He was involved in all kind of stuff. Let's say that, right? Investigation for all kind of stuff, man. And it's just, you couldn't get him to respond. You know, I couldn't get him to go to school. I couldn't get him to respond. I couldn't get him from doing things because the detectives are telling me everything he's doing, right? You know what I mean? And so, but what eventually happened, and I can't really put the exact turn of events where it was, but I kept planting the seeds, and one day he hit me up randomly and was like, he was like, bro, These niggas is crash dummies, fam. Like, I'm starting to realize these niggas is crash dummies. They're not going nowhere, right? You know, and so I started talking to him. How do you feel about that? How do you feel hanging around a bunch of crash dummies? Do you feel like you're a crash dummy? Like, you know what I mean? And we started having these conversations. And then eventually, we stopped burning young people. So I started with this. So I'm like, bro, if you make it to school for one day, I'll shoot you $25. You know what I mean? He made school for one day. So I was like, you make it school for a few dollars, you 50. You know what I mean? He did that. But after a while, I'm like, okay, well, we just have to package deal this. Like, you know what I mean?
But he started. Because
you're supposed to go to school, my nigga.
Right. Because you're supposed to go to school. Right. But yeah, bro. So anyway, so today, man, he's actually a senior now. He sent me, he got 100% of his recent test. He got four more things to do. He's on his schedule to graduate. And he was like, bro, I think that. He said, I realized how bad it is and how important it is for me to graduate. He was like, because I know it's going to determine the trajectory of my life after this, right? He's been on it, man. He's been at it, man. And thank God for him. That's good. Yeah.
Do you ever, like, meet children that are, maybe it's more than just, like, where they're from, like, they're battling, like, with the depression or, like, mental health stuff? Do you guys have like resources there at your place that can help them with those type of things?
Actually, yeah, I think me personally, excuse me, ooh, yeah, that was nasty. But a lot of these young folks are struggling for mental health situations, right? You know, I do. I'm taking therapy now. What we did to, we partnered with VMFH, Virginia Mason Franciscan Hospital, and they allowed us some funds to, and partnered with Federal Aid Black Collective to provide up to 12 sessions of free.
Thank you.
So we provide up to 12 sessions of free therapy sessions, and for every hour, we pay them $25 to go.
I'm about to get in this program. I need $25. I go to school every day.
Right. I'm like, man, listen. All
therapy, I do that too. Give me $25.
Because it's the worst. Because at the worst case, so I tell them, like, worst case scenario, you hate it and you got a bag out of it. Right. You got some money. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah, best case scenario, you love it and you still got some money out of it. You forgot to keep it going after 12 sessions.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's the way we approach it. So it's a blessing. It's been a blessing.
Yeah. I think that's amazing because I think mental health is like kind of like the backbone to a lot of the stuff that goes on with the youth. I think that they just need people to talk to, people to trust. Sometimes they don't have that person at home or wherever they're at. Even with the people that are trying to help them by, you know, whatever circumstances they're in or their big homies or whatever, it's still not enough. So it's very big, I think, for mental health resources to be available to kids. Doesn't mean you have to diagnose them. Doesn't mean that they're everyone's right. Got this and that. It's just like sometimes kids just need somebody to fucking talk to, like, you know, to just let it out. And sometimes someone who's not someone that you know, it helps. So I think that's amazing. I think that's really dope. I see that you do stuff with the kids. You take them on field trips. You take them, like, I think you took them to like the haunted houses. You do stuff. You did Thanksgiving. You're very, very busy.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Von Seller. She's a big part of the story. Big shout out. Miss Von Seller Gaywood.
Oh.
That's a whole different part. That's the background. We got to bring that up. That's she adopted me at one point.
Really?
But yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, my bad. Keep going.
So so you have these field trips. You do things with the kids. You take them out. You do a lot of stuff for the community. You work with a lot of different organizations. You just keep very busy. How do you find time to rub elbows with the right people? I mean, you're every day. A speaking engagement tomorrow. You're rubbing elbows with Seahawks players. You're rubbing elbows with, you know, King 5 or Fox News and whoever else. Like, how do you make time for all of that? Like, do you have like a plan? Do you have a schedule? Do you just run into these people?
You know, when I do have a schedule, I live off my calendar. Okay. Like, if it don't hit my calendar, it don't even exist, man. But the way that I connect with them, what about making time? Like, right, it's about creating time. Like, there's, you got to create time. You're intentional with it. There's no such thing as no time. You just got to create the thing. So I make sure I leave spaces for important situations like that. But I would say that I'm extremely lucky, and all luck is when preparation, you know, meets opportunity, right? And so I'm extremely lucky in the fact that I'm prepared when I run into these individuals from somebody that meets. Like, when I met into the dude from Fox 13, it was a friend of mine that was like, hey, there's a private funder here that heard about Pro Se from one of your reels you shared that wants to talk to you, right? And it just so happens that the day before that, I posted that reel. So that was like preparation. I didn't know that. And I was like, all right, let's go. And I ran in to meet her, and he happened to be there. And when I walks over, I'm like, oh, yeah, how you doing? He's like, oh, what do you do? Well, I've had this and I do this and I do that. Okay, I want to do a story on you. Come on. You know what I mean?
Nice.
And so it's like that. Had I not have been prepared, had I not have set the groundwork, had I not had a been like, I'm not gonna go talk to him, had I been scared, had any of that would have happened, then I wouldn't have achieved that kind of luck or met that person. So that's a track record of any kind of person I met or any kind of success. I've been extremely lucky.
Yeah.
You know,
some of your accolades, you've been in newspapers, you've been on websites. What was one of the one that you were the most excited about?
The accolade I was most excited about.
Getting out of prison.
Man, all right.
but I'm talking about someone who interviewed him or a piece that they did. Hey, I'm just, a prison is dead.
Hey, I was sitting here like, shit.
Talk to me, man. You know what was a beautiful moment, man? I can say a beautiful moment, bro. Is I spoke in May for the King County Symposium, right? They had a symposium. King County. They had it in Pierce County at the Marriott. Right, and it was all these people here, everybody from around there, were like all the mayors and everybody was there, right? And I was initially supposed to do it with this, she's a famous lady. She does a lot of community work around the world, like ET, the hip hop preacher, all them follow her, right? Her and I were supposed to have like a conversation on stage, like you and I, about gun violence in different generations and all that kind of stuff, right? But at the end, she ended up getting sick. And so we're supposed to go 10-10. She ended up getting sick. So I left me with a 20-minute slot.
Oh no, right?
Left me with 20 minutes. Another point of luck, right? Right? Another point of luck.
Because you was properly prepared.
I was already prepared.
Let's get it.
Because I already came with 20 minutes ready. I had 30 ready.
Let's get it.
I was ready.
Let's get it.
So I went up there and I just put on my vision board. I want to speak in front of 1,000 people. There's 2,000 people there, right? And I went and I spoke. And everybody that, from the first person that trained me how to be an outreach worker back when I was on house arrest in 2020, all the way to the executive of the public health that rocks with me now and now calls me a friend, right? They all stood up and gave a round of applause, like a standing ovation. But it wasn't the standing ovation that was the moment for me. It was the fact that these people saw my growth. They saw me doing lives on Facebook with the nappy lock. Bro, I'm saying, boy, with a nappy head, with a nappy head,
So before that 2,000 people speech, mm-hmm. What was the biggest amount of crowd?
I think the biggest crowd I had before that 2,000 was maybe like 100.
Oh, I would have cried.
125.
Well, was you nervous?
Yeah, I was.
I'm saying like you go from 100 to a 2,000.
Yeah, yeah.
This is like a concert.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, for sure. Yeah.
And they're all listening and waiting, and there's nothing to distract them. And
I can't
all,
wait to.
I'm nervous. Just
I can't wait for 2,000.
That's a lot.
I didn't did 100 so many times.
Yeah,
30 so many times. Yeah, yeah. I'm the 2,000. Yeah. I'm showing my ass when I get 2,000.
Oh God! You know what's so?
Oh my God! They're like shut the show down.
2,000 motherfuckers, and they know my. This is going down.
Yes,
they just want me.
Yes.
Oh, it's going down.
Hey, on everything, bro. You know what's so crazy? You know what prepared me for speaking? Besides Toastmasters, I was already doing music. Okay. I was rapping.
Right.
So it was like for me, and my whole rap was a performance. You know what I mean? I'm turned up, you know. And so like, Toastmasters gave me the structure. And it taught me the cadence and everything about like how to properly put together a speech. But it's really like putting together a rap.
Right.
Like the way I used to write, I used to write, I think about it, rap it back, put it down, write, walk away, da da da, boop, now I got the whole thing. I know my whole rap. I'm going in. That's what I do with a speech. Then I just go off of it in my mind.
That's good to know.
Yeah. So when you do your rap, you go do your speech, it's the same thing.
I be trying to get up on stage and just run some words out.
Hey, right.
I'm a rapper, nigga. I can go up there and say some shit. They love it.
That's all. They love it. Right? That's all. Look. Jeezy can say anything. Jeezy can say anything right now. Right. It's gonna be quotes forever.
At some point in time, you can just go up there and say anything.
Say whatever. Right.
Yeah.
That's dope. 2,000 people. That's a lot of people. I would not know how I would feel about 2,000 people staring at me.
That's a dope accomplishment, right?
Yeah. That's amazing. That's a very amazing accolade.
I appreciate it.
So we're gonna backpedal a little bit. I want to talk about Lil Day Day. As a little kid.
Yeah.
Like, what were you like growing up? Like, I know you mentioned that you were kind of, you had to learn how you had to like get tougher over time. I feel like that's something that when you grow up, you kind of have to do that, But what kind of kid were you? What did you like to do? What were your hobbies?
My hobbies. Nah, my nickname was the Bad Tay, right? They used to call me
the Bad Tay.
They used to call me the Bad Tay, bro. And you know when I look back, right? Because I'm doing a lot of inner child work with my therapist right now. So like I want to just say that
I'm getting to that point too with her.
Yep. See, come on. Like, therapist is a big thing. Let's look, quick infomercial, right? So, but therapist is a big thing, and I think it's not put forth in our community enough.
Yeah.
We're taught to shut up, boy, if I smack you, and hold that in. Don't go right out the house. But then we build up all this stuff, and we exert these behaviors. It's not the kid that's bad. It's not the person that's bad.
Yeah.
It's the behaviors that you dislike. That's totally separate of the young person. You know what I mean? I had to learn that. But yeah, so coming up, I would say I was real mischievous. You know, the reason why is now I look back, my dad got murdered before I was born, you know? So my dad got murdered. My mom was pregnant with me when he got murdered. So when that happened, naturally a woman, she was about 5 months pregnant. So I felt everything that woman felt, right? When she watched my dad shed a tear being, knowing he's dying. You know what I mean? He was set up and killed with a shotgun in Texas and thrown in the bushes. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, you know, and she already had my older brother with her. And so she kind of went through her own, lived in her experience, and where I ended up with my grandmother, and my other brother went up with his next grandmother. So when I came into the situation in the Yustle Terrace Projects, I had a poor single grandmother. I had a dad that had been killed before I was born, and a mom that we didn't have the best relationship because I didn't really know where she was at different times.
Yeah.
Right? And so I had all this anger. So I would do little things. It would mostly be at school, but I do little things I didn't understand.
Yeah.
Like I was flip over a table or something, you know what I mean? Like I just flip over a table or something, then the teacher get mad, I'll black out, right? And now I'm hot, I'm angry, I'm throwing chairs, I'm tripping, right? But then my grandma at home, she was like, I don't see that, right? I'm playing a video game, or I'm going out back in the day, we was outside more.
That's like my son.
Yeah, right.
My son get in trouble like every week.
At school, huh?
Yeah, at school. Yep. But he's not, I'm like, hey, why? He's not a bad kid. Right.
That's why the mamas be going up there like, stop lying on my baby.
Right. Like, nah, I know, little JoJo. No, real talk, that's how it is. Like my daughter, I struggled with that with my daughter, and I put her through her own trauma. But yeah, so I was, you know, I was always into something at school. I was always into trouble at school. But I wasn't a violent kid, per se. Don't even know, I was flipping chairs and throwing chairs and all that shit.
I was
having
people.
Breakdowns. I wasn't trying to attack people.
Yeah.
I didn't understand violence. I was raised by my grandma. You know what I mean? You know, and so, but like I said, when I was in my environment, that was a very violent place. Right? So I used to get beat up all the time. I used to get jumped. You know what I mean? Because I looked like a little girl. I had long hair. There's like kind of like those twists. I had long, real, little thick hair. I had no facial hair. I had a real squeaky voice. You know what I mean? That's one time I was with actually Vonsella's son. We're walking down the street, and this couple walks over, and they're like, oh, you're a really handsome young man to him. And it was like, oh my God, you got a beautiful girlfriend. And I was like, what? I'm a boy. Like, you know? But like, so, you know, those are all those different things. But for the most part, coming up, I wasn't aggressive. I wasn't violent. I was really just a kid that was kind of lost and just doing little shit that kids did.
Yeah. Okay. And then when did you get locked up? Because you mentioned 2020. What happened in 2020? Because I feel like that wasn't a long time ago. You've been out before then.
Yeah. You said, I got out in 2020.
Really?
Yeah, I got out in 2020.
You've done all this in 3 years.
That's what people say.
He's like, you know, he said all this in three books.
Three books. Everything. All the shit.
All the shit.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Three books, 2,000 people, hundreds of people in between. Round of a fucking applause. I'm sorry. 3 years?
Yeah, that's wild.
You know, I think it's like a slingshot, man. You know what I mean? I have been held back for so long by my own doings. You know what I mean?
I say that about every nigga that get out of prison, though.
Come on.
They either just really ain't doing shit, or right. They just go or they super go, hard.
You got like, man, you got like an individual's been locked up. So I was telling my homeboy, he's doing time on murder, man, free AP, right? But he was like, bro, I just can't wait to touch down. I was like, let me tell you what's unique about doing all that time, right? Is you see this shit out here, excuse my language, you see this as a playground. Like, I don't see things like a regular person. Now, I'm not saying like you guys see because your work ethic's different. You know what I mean? But like, I didn't come out seeing like a regular person. See, first of all, COVID to everybody was like, oh my God, I'm locked down. And me, I was like, oh my God, I'm out. Yeah, like, right. COVID to me, I said, I'm about to get busy. Like, how do I do this? What do I do? You know? So that's the first thing I seen the difference. And when people were like, they'll take more longer to put a resume in or do a job, whatever. Man, say less. I'm putting it in right now.
Right.
So every opportunity was, I knew for a fact coming out that for every 1 year, I had to move as if it was 5 years. Right. So a person's 1 year, I try to fit five in it.
Yeah.
Because I know all that time I lost.
Yeah, I'm trying to catch up.
Gotta catch up. You know what I mean?
Shout out to 2020. That was a wonderful time. I was definitely outside. I feel like that's when I met you in 2020. The first, the 99,000s party. Yep. He came there.
Yeah.
And like, you're like the life of the party. You just have an energy about yourself.
Libra.
He's a Libra. So Libra. That, I guess, is big Libra energy. It's all, you've always been my biggest supporter with my events. I want to thank you for that. I appreciate it. You always pop up. You always show love. So 2020, that is insane to me.
Dope.
You came out, hit the ground running.
This is a three-time author, ladies and gentlemen. Right. Three-time author.
Right. He has a nonprofit.
Not motivational.
Inspirational.
Okay. Yeah.
Thousands of followers on Facebook. Your reels are getting a lot of motion. So I watch your reels. I feel like everything, all your stuff pops up. Instantly, the first thing I see.
I'm trying to put that L-Rock hustle in, man.
There's a very, like, you guys are very consistent people, for sure, with what you guys do your craft in. And so when you have all your reels and stuff, it's very inspirational. It's very, very, like, uplifting. I'm like, you know what? That makes me feel a little bit better today because, you know, today sucks. But it makes me feel better. So my question for you now is, you use your platform to inspire others. What do you use, like, or like, who or what inspires you in order to, like, inspire others?
I look at, there's a certain public figures that I had the honor to meet, and a couple of them to follow me, but they're part of the Earn Your Leisure University. A lot of them are Earn Your Leisure. You guys familiar with Earn Your Leisure, right?
I'm not. Let's can I, and for those who are on.
No doubt. Earn Your Leisure, what his name is, Rashad, and what's the other brother's name? Rashad and I forgot right now, but there's two brothers, right? One used to be a financial literacy teacher, another one was a teacher in some source or something. But they came together, started teaching financial literacy to kids of color into different schools. They started like really just in classrooms, right? Mm-hmm. And they started blowing up. And now they do, every year they do a big thing called the Invest Fest, where they bring all, it's phenomenal, man. It's a bunch of people of color, a bunch of Black people specifically, in one space. They have headliners. Last time it was Steve Harvey, that Tyler Perry. They have four Black billionaires last year. They have four Black billionaires. Robert F. Smith.
I didn't even know we had four Black billionaires.
Yeah, bro.
Round of applause for them.
Come on,
four Black billionaires.
Yes, bro. With the big B, bro.
Okay.
Yes, bro. They had them all there, man. And then they had the freaking chairman, the CEO of Chick-fil-A walking around the crowd, bro. Like, he was able to walk him and shake his hand. He had CEO of Chick-fil-A on his neck. You know what I mean? But it was lit, bro. It was a time where you got, I think they had 20,000 Black people in there, right? 20,000 people, everybody selling their merch. No, this is in Atlanta.
They
did it in New York before. Okay. But everybody flew out there, bro. And they had marketplace, everybody selling their merch and everything. Celebrities are coming, buying merch from you. Steve Harvey's going and grabbing. But not one fight. Not one problem. They had a VIP night.
Atlanta,
Jim Jones came.
In Atlanta, Black people are used to Black people in Atlanta.
Yeah, you know, right. No, excuse me. Real talk. But there's some people like Neil DeViso. Big shout out to Nehemiah Davis. Ian McDonald. M5 Developments. Donnie Wiggins. Them guys. So those are all individuals I used to wake up in the morning and watch. When I was out of prison, I used to watch them. They have these podcasts. I'm like, they're dope. I can't wait to be around them someday. I can't wait.
I'm going to have to get those names.
I got you. I'm going to send them to you, man. And I actually went to the fest and I bought VIP. It was like $3,000, right? And
invest in your shit.
And you know what? You know what's so crazy, bro? I got three of them following me back, bro. I had personal conversations with them. And so this tied in what inspires me, right? So I had the whole time, I was like, I'm going to meet them when I'm be around them one day, right? I met them. I got a few of them to follow me. So now when I look at myself, I'm like, okay, I know if I'm not posting something consistently, because they be on their stuff.
Yeah.
They're watching.
Right.
Right. They're watching me. So I got to be on my stuff. Right. So what I do is I go watch their stuff and I go watch other individuals. And sometimes I be on YouTube, YouTubing, looking for stuff. And that's what I get to refill. And then I go, I digest it and I put stuff out.
So it's like social media and people that inspire you to inspire.
And it's dope that you got, when you get those people that you follow to follow you, it pushes you to put more work in. It's like, okay,
they're watching me. They don't have that many followers.
Right.
Like, it's going to pop up on their feed.
Yep, sure. Exactly. That's exactly how it is, man. You know, but you know what? You know, I got taught an extreme lesson over there too, right? This humbled me, but it taught me something, right? The brother, Him 500. You guys heard of Him 500? Him 500's field. He's a beast, right? So I read a Him 500 three times. At one point, we was all sitting there at the after party. We were all taking, it's all kicking it, right? But Him 500, the third time I walked into him, I finally got the courage. I was like, hey, man. I said, bro, look, what's that? I follow you. He's awesome. What's up? He started talking to me. I said, hey, bro, follow me back.
Yep. What he gotta ask.
This is what he says, though. Right? This after Neo followed me, so I didn't follow me. But I'm feeling myself right now. So he goes, he said, bro, I'm gonna be honest with you, because I am a real nigga, I'm not gonna follow you back.
Oh no!
I said, no! I said, wait, what? So it threw me back for a minute. Now look, here's what I got choices, right? So look.
No, man.
Right. So right. So life is about perspective. Life's about perspective. Everything in your life's about perspective, right? It's not what happens to you. It's how you respond is what happens to you, right? So I could have took that in my old way when he said that, like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
been hot about it, right?
Yeah, fuck you.
But I was like, shit, yeah, I could have went crazy with it, right? And not saying he wouldn't have went back. I'm just saying I could have did all that. But I listened. I said, oh, okay, how come? And what he said was, he said, because I follow the people that I want to keep up with. They're going to teach me something and about business and the things that I'm aligned with. You give me a reason to do that, then I'll follow you back. But I'm focused.
Right.
Sure. And I walked away. I'm like, ooh.
I'm on following all these weird niggas.
Come on, right.
Now.
Just because you walk into me and say, bro, I'm already on.
Yeah.
What do you do? I'm right. Yeah, I'm not even following, bro. Exactly.
Spam.
Exactly, bro. Yeah, that's gotta be, you know, and what that showed me when I came back from there, I was like, I follow a lot of motherfuckers I don't need to be following, bro. Because what are you in line with?
Yep.
You know what I mean? So I took that gym, man, and I really appreciate it. That probably was one of the most important things I learned out there.
That's definitely a real one, though.
That was
because you sit on Instagram, the niggas you follow, that's what's popping
that's
up on your shit.
That's what you see.
Right.
That's your feed.
That's your feed. That's your feed.
Yeah, and we've talked about this on like social media etiquette. Yeah. What you see, what you see, and like
definitely
right. Wait, right report. Stop a report. I'm gonna report this. You why? What's all this about?
Frankie is the most not report. Social media. He's not going for it.
I can't report no ass.
You know what? I just posted something right because I feel like we're not gonna get away from social media. You know, and I got a lot of my young people in the programs follow me. And so that keeps me going too, keeps me pushing and posting too, because they'll come and talk to me about it, right? But I put something out there. I'm like, okay, if you're going to be in social media all the time, you're going to be scrolling, you're going to be staying on there. Well, then why don't you turn your social media to your vision board, right? And the way that you do that is you want to follow all the stuff that has nothing to do. First, you got to have a vision, build a vision out, right?
For sure.
Write the goals to your vision, and then follow every single page that has something to do with your vision. I follow upscale luxury houses. I follow motivational sometimes. I follow bankers. I follow real estate things. I follow all that. And then you unfollow every single thing that has nothing to do with your vision. And you just like crazy.
Tay dropping real gems today. He's dropping real gems today. You hear that, ladies and gentlemen?
True.
Only follow Legendary Dope Show and all the stuff that you.
That part.
Gems on this show, okay?
Right.
It's essential.
Come on.
No, but definitely, we talked about that on a social media etiquette show, like where people complain about what they see on their feed, or I see too much negativity, or I see, you know, because it's you're following the wrong stuff.
Come on.
Because everyone's timeline is different. I'll see a lot of inspirational stuff. I'm seeing people start businesses. I'm seeing people post their brands. I'm seeing people having babies and getting married. Mm-hmm. So then when someone pops on my feed and they're like talking about how niggas don't care about you, they don't love you, they're gonna dog you, they're gonna kill you, they're gonna have babies on you, they're gonna give you STDs, they're gonna ruin your life.
Right.
I'm like, girl, I just seen 10 people get married on my timeline alone. Right, so what are you talking about?
Right.
I seen somebody who just had an anniversary for 10 years. She's my age. So what are you talking
about?
Like, so it's definitely you have to choose what you want to see. Get rid of the bad energy. You got to get rid of it. You have to.
Because that nigga going to pop up at your door next.
Right. People don't understand that. Like, that's
real.
So real, bro. Yeah. And like, you got to think this. I'm really big on words, right? Look, we're talking about your feed. What is a feed? How do you feed? What do you feed? You're feeding yourself.
Right.
This is what you're feeding your mind.
Right.
You know what I mean? People are not understanding that. They're calling it a social media feed, and this is what you're feeding into yourself, and you're expecting to have a different output. As within is without. You know what I mean? If I'm putting a bunch of garbage, you might have a bunch of garbage coming out.
For sure.
You know what I mean? But then you say that you want to buy that house next year.
Right.
Right? You say you want that, like, you want that wife, you want that dope husband, you want that. Hold on, bro. Wait a minute. You're following City Boys on the thing. Look at you. You know what I'm saying? But real talk.
That's definitely serious. You're feeding yourself knowledge. The internet is one of the fastest ways that you can absorb things in a short amount of time. If you think about TikTok, those are like up to like, I know they have like 3-minute videos, but like 3 minutes. That's it. Half of the time, you only need about 5 seconds to really get you're scrolling past it. It's got a blink of an eye to get your attention. So that's very important. The social media is great. Have you had any opportunities come your way because of social media?
Oh man, I think it's crazy. I would say like the last 5-6 of my speaking engagements came from social media.
That's
like true. I had somebody come, they hit me on LinkedIn and was like, hey, I want you to be a part of this speaking engagement because I seen your energy when you was putting out the video, which connected me to Doug Baldwin before I met Doug Baldwin, right? Because he was one of the people that was partnering with the person I met there. You feel me?
It's all about relationships.
Come on.
Yeah, and staying consistent, because if you're consistent with your stuff, you just never know who's going to
see. And he got a LinkedIn. Like, when he said that, I said, oh, he's on his business. Shit, right?
Listen, I'm putting this shit everywhere, bro. Yes. I was like, LinkedIn, I was like, I don't know if we're gonna be receptive to these videos, but they're gonna take it. Y'all eat it. That's right. You kick me off. Let's get
it. Nah, for real.
You might as well.
I've never signed up for the
message.
Yeah.
That's good though.
Yeah.
So with the content, I'm always curious about this because I'm like touch and go with my content. I'd be like so inspired 1 month and then life happens and then 6 months later I'm back at it again. But there's a lot of space in between, I feel. I'm getting better. But how much time do you dedicate to your content and like posting on social media? Is it kind of like around the clock thing? Do you have like apps that you help like schedule your post? Any kind of gems that somebody, I mean, you don't have to give too much away, but like maybe some gems for people who are trying to like be more consistent with their content.
Right. I got you. Can I speak to what you said before that first real quick?
Yes.
So I want to drop this. I really want to drop this because I think a lot of people need to know this, right? I move by this thing that's called like one win a day, right? Okay. Woman a day. And the reason why I say that is because a lot of times we're not going to be motivated because it's like a shower. You need it every day, right? Mm-hmm. But you got to take it every day, right? Or you're going to be stinking. But so you're going to always have to get yourself going again. You're not going to always, you might not be as inspired. But what I tell myself each day is if I could find one little win a day, that's going to motivate me enough to keep going to the end of the day.
Count all the wins.
Feel what I'm saying? Like even if you just get one though, you feel what I'm saying? If I'm going to write this book, if I write one page, that's one win a day. Yeah. I make some progress. You know what I mean? So that means tomorrow, that's going to make me want to go do two now. I already got one. I already got it going. So I always tell people, man, get that one with a day, and you'll find yourself being able to ride off the momentum from yesterday, right? Because that's the way that it helps me, and that's why I talk to a lot of my people. But going back to the social media being consistent, yeah, I use a lot of AI, okay, if I'm being all the way real. So initially, I was just posting whatever I would come up with the whole time. What I started doing is I wake up in the morning when I meditate. Nothing wrong with it, but I don't cross my legs and meditate. I lay there, I close my eyes, and I just blank envision where I want to be.
Yeah.
And something will come. Like today, I've been thinking about commitment. So I go to captions, the captions app, and I'll type in, talk about the importance of commitment and 3 steps to start committing if I haven't been doing good at it. Just write me a whole script. Copy that script, put it in ChatGPT, it makes me a post. I'll do a video real quick to it, talking about what it was, and put it up. You know, it's a 5-minute process. And I think that a lot of people don't do social media they don't like posting consistently because they're like, I didn't get that good of a feed off of it, right? You know, and that's how I was at one point. But if you just keep going, when Kobe made, how much did Kobe make? Was it 84 shots? What was it that one time we dropped that history game? 80 something shots. He wasn't thinking about each shot. He wasn't even thinking about getting that much. He just kept putting up the shots. Right. And that's how social media works. If you keep putting up the shots, eventually the algorithm is going to take you where you need to get to, right? Because it's going to keep seeing that you're doing consistent. Social media rewards the person who's doing consistent on their platform. And if you just throw it up, walk away from it, it's going to keep going. I went viral 3 different times, right? You know, I went viral 3 different times just because I was putting up shots. And they'd be the most unexpected one. Yeah. They'd be the most unexpected stuff. Yep. They send you to another level. But you're never going to get there if you're not consistently doing it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I need to be more consistent with my content. I try. You are pretty good. You're pretty consistent with your content.
Leave me on it. Yeah, leave me on it.
Life be life it.
Life be life, man. Look, listen, listen. Appreciate it, man. Come on. It's ours to have, bro, everywhere.
Okay. So you mentioned that there's someone that was watching live that adopted you at
some
point in time.
Mm-hmm.
Like real adoption or like a mentor or just like,
She tried to legally adopt me, but couldn't because my grandma. So, all right. So when I was going back a little bit, when I was 14 years old, my grandma went to prison, right? Shit. That was the person that raised me. She went to prison. There's a couple of stories of what it was. It was supposed to be, it had been a murder, it had been a robbery going bad or something like that, like back in the 80s or something, right? Mm-hmm. So she went to prison then and then escaped. And when she escaped, she went and got a fake name. I didn't know my grandma's real name until I was 14.
Golly.
Right? And so, like, she escaped prison. And she was, right. The process story coming soon. I heard you guys got movie connections, too.
We do.
Yeah. His name was Hudson. That was, like my brother, like my older brother, right? And we had been rocking forever. And my mom wanted me. So I went with my mom for a little bit. We weren't too cool. That lasted maybe, that's why I went to Fairway. I was there for maybe a year and a half, tearing shit up and recruiting gang members, right? And I don't remember.
I love that quote, tearing shit up and recruiting gang
members. That's what it was, bro. That's what it was, bro. You know what I mean? That tearing shit up and recruiting gang members, bro. And I don't remember if she kicked me out or I decided to leave. Somehow we agreed to this situation and an argument. But I packed up my stuff in a garbage bag, like I packed it to go there and I got out of there. I went to the streets. I went to the district. And Miss Von Sella Gatewood, she was like the community mom. She was the one, though, if you stay at night on Saturday, you got to go to church on Sunday.
Oh,
like, yeah, look, you trying to sneak out. Nope, she's up.
Nope.
But she had mad love for me, bro. And she was like, all right, I'm going to take you into my house. Right? And so she brought me in. It was like 1, 2, 3 small bedroom. The pink apartments in the city, real small, one way in, one way out. Right? And she took me in. And she brought me in. She fed me. She kept me there for as long as she could. She tried to get me in school, but couldn't do that. She tried all these different things, but I had been so indoctrinated into the streets that it was kind of like taking in a wild dog and trying to domesticate it. I was too much, you know? And so what eventually happened from there is my brother, he ended up going to Job Corps. I applied for Job Corps. I tried to escape, you know what I mean? I tried my route. They denied me. Because of my record, I had just got off. I had a shooting charge when I was 13.
Shit.
And so what happened was they denied me, bro. And so then I'm like, damn, he's leaving. And I'm too bad. So she was kind of like, well, we're going to take you somewhere else. And they took me to, I remember, I'll never forget this day, bro, because this is the day I said, F it, I went all the way dark, bro. They took me to this facility, right? So it was either go to juvenile and get into foster care or go to this group home with a police check. You got to stay there, right? And so I go there and this dude named Brother Green, RIP, he's trying to check me in. The police was like, all right, was he a giveaway? And then he was like, well, no, he's not a giveaway. Then he was like, well, is he a runaway? And he was like, nah, he's not a runaway. He's like, well, what is he? Because my mom wouldn't come pick me up. And my grandma was now in a halfway house. And then he was like, he's more of a throwaway. You know, and I remember those words to this day, and I broke down crying.
Damn.
I broke down crying, bro.
You said it right in front of you?
Right in front of me. Said I'm a throwaway, bro.
That's why I don't like people.
Man, I that may have been the best way he was able to communicate that. I don't know, but it messed me up, bro. And when I went in there, I stayed in there for a little bit. I tricked the police, let me check into another place, and I escaped and ran off, and I lived on the streets until I was like 18. You know, and so that was my turning point. That's when I was like, fuck everything. I don't care about nothing. Let's turn this shit up. Yeah.
And I mean, what, I mean, what do you expect when you talk to children like that? Like, yeah. you know,
yeah.
and I think that's happening so much. Like you lose kind of, you lose hope. You don't know what to do. And I feel like growing up, there was always like a lady in the neighborhood that kind of like would take kids under their wing. Like I had like a best friend and she had a house, like she had four siblings. So, and then they had all her cousins had big families and I was just the only girl in my family. So I would just go over there and I would just stay over there for weeks. Like they would just take me in, you know what I'm saying? Like, because I didn't want to be at home. I didn't want to, but there's always those people. And she was like very helpful. Like she bailed my mom out of jail once. Like it was like seriously, like, you know, that's she's love. Always, she taught me how to do hair. So there's always those people that try to help, you know, in our community.
Do you think we still have that these days? Do we? I feel like it's been broken up, bro. I don't know.
I think we still have it.
You do? Maybe in some sense.
My house was a house like I took in a hell of runaways. Not runaways, but like straight niggas, like you said.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Okay. They would just come and it was cool.
Right. They could have went home if they wanted to, but for some reason they was at my house.
Yeah, they was like, yeah, good energy.
They'd rather be there.
Yeah.
And my mom was cool with it. I don't know why she was cool with it. That was super weird, but my brother's a gang member too. So my brother was bringing hella niggas to the crib.
Yeah. What about today though? Like in this generation?
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah,
I haven't heard of. I haven't really heard of.
I mean, I wouldn't let niggas be at my house.
Man, look.
Badass.
Hey, can we say that we're dealing with a total different generation?
Right.
We've never seen nothing like this.
They would pull up to your house with a stolen car.
The niggas don't even clean up after themselves.
Right. Bro, it's wild.
Niggas be in your shit, act like they run this shit. Like, oh.
Yeah.
Other shit they
that part. That part, bro.
They don't clean up.
That part.
They don't have money. They can't help. No.
Fuck that.
I definitely. Yeah. And that's sad. And that's why it's very important to have stuff like your nonprofit where people can come, like kids can come and feel safe and feel like they matter. So that's the more important than anything.
And maybe learn some good tools, like morals and values.
I'm about to load some kids up and drop them off in King County right there from state headquarters.
Right.
They're out here doing too much.
Yeah,
we don't know what to do with them. Help them, please.
You know what's so crazy, bro? I want to speak to that, man. And I hope this reaches the people that need to reach. Tacoma needs more resources, bro. Like it needs more resources, man. And I because look, bro. They don't have as much resources, man. And I talked to a few of our people I rock with in King County, and they're trying to come up with ways to get different funding for Pierce County. Cause I'm like, dang, bro, we do these events in Pierce County. You know what I mean? And one thing that I respect shout out to Luther Band that she did, she brought some people from Pierce, like Thet Brown, she brought him out. She brought what's his name?
So a lot of your events are done in Pierce County?
Like three or four of them was done in Pierce County, man. Wow. A lot of
and they're in Pierce County, like getting the resources.
There's no resources. You know what I mean? No resources. But
we never even know that's happening.
You gotta somebody from what I've seen, and this is my opinion, somebody from Pierce County has to know the person from King, has to be connected to the person from King County. And then they pick who they want. You know what I mean? Like, okay, I want you, and you. Then come to this event. You know what I mean? If you got a couple other people that come in, it's like, all right, bang. You know, I think that it should be something of a sort. Like, okay, well then, how do we reinvest here? You know what I mean? How do we reinvest? How do we get other community leaders? You know, the funds needed to come make it happen.
I don't know if it's the. I think it's a lot of people that's trying to do what you're doing. Mm-hmm.
Getting greedy with them grants and stuff.
Yeah.
I think
grant
money means
personal money.
Right.
Yeah. And that's no good.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Where's the program, bro?
Right. What's going on? Yeah.
Might do it one time to.
Yeah.
Like they're using it for like the not the right reasons. Right. And that's shame on you. Shame on all of you.
Right. And you know, I seen two reasons that happens. One, they got in for the wrong reason, or two, they got burnt out in the middle. And it's like, damn, bro.
Like you said, there's only so many resources, and there's only so many like-minded people doing what you're doing.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
It's going to be somebody that's like, you know what you mean? It's like doing the same thing. Why are we, you know, it's a compete thing, but for from every step.
Yeah. There needs to be more unity. Working together.
My God, bro. I was watching this thing.
You're fine.
I was watching this thing from this brother today. I forget his name. I saved it on Instagram. But he had a poster. There was these big black dots. They're all like this. He's like, this isn't how we're supposed to do it, bro. He flipped it and there was these black dots. They were all like connected like a web. And they were like, there's a saying. He said that they said a million spiders together can tie a web to tie down a lion. You feel what I'm saying? That was like, that's how we need to operate. Your connection should be my connection. I should operate with you. Everybody should work on the specials, do whatever they can, but it's not like
definitely.
That. It's crumbs. It's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna fight you and kill you over this crumb while they take the loaf. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Let's get it together. Yeah. Right. Right.
But they don't want to put in the work.
Come on.
I'm just a worker. I'm not the popular guy. I don't want to. I feel like that's something for me. I feel like everybody here feel like we've been popular all our whole life. Popular ain't cool.
Yeah.
You really missed opportunities. Yeah.
Yep.
They want to work.
Find the niggas that you think is odd because they really not. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm a nigga that don't assign to groups.
Yeah.
I'm bad with aligning myself with groups.
Are
you a Mason? Not a Mason. If it was one lodge, I probably could be involved. You know what I'm saying? But if it's a lodge, every 10 blocks, they all doing different things.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So right.
The group is never, if it's expanded,
right.
I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
You niggas on a whole different page. Mm-hmm. That's what happens even with us being creative.
Yep.
So businessmen, we go somewhere and it's like, oh, that nigga ain't doing the business like me. And then I don't want to talk about it. You know
yes.
I mean? That's the other part. They don't want to try to get on the same accord. It's like, nah, that ain't their vision. You
know, right. Yeah. That's not
their vision. Everybody has their own vision.
Yep.
So it's like, I can't change that.
Yeah.
It's not meant to be changed.
Right.
It's your vision.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So yeah.
Can I align and can we benefit from each other?
Yeah.
You know, people don't want to use the word, but can we use each other?
Yeah. And there's nothing, and that's what people do.
You're right.
And so it's
they try to use you
as a bad thing.
Nothing wrong with using nobody.
Right.
There's a difference between being used and being misused, right? You know, we have to use each other. It's got to be something like, you did this, you did that. Misuse is when I have ill intentions and I just don't want to return nothing back and I want to take this from you, right? But like you said, there's negative connotations particularly we use because we're misinformed on the situation.
A lot of the basic words in the dictionary now that we used to use misappropriated. Like these things like, for us, niggas call me like, what's your budget? I'm not here to check your pockets.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm here to say, if you got 25, let me see what I can do for the 25.
Come on,
come on.
These little words,
yeah.
I think we attach shit to it. This is just a whole different mindset that people are on. So it's kind of like, you know, actually, I'm a nigga that's like, just tell me fucking Frankie. They're not about to call me.
Right.
They're like, listen. I'm a hole poker. I'm definitely gonna poke the holes. So we can both get on the same accord.
Respect.
So it can work.
Yeah.
I mean, not a nigga that, oh, it was great. You know, it was like events.
Yeah.
Niggas would be happy that it just got through it. Like, but you lost.
Come on.
Like, we ain't breaking
no W. Nothing.
You ain't gained two followers. Yeah. Like you said, I got two followers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't gain nothing from it.
Yeah.
I gotta be gaining something.
Come on, bro.
You know what I'm saying? So people are into shit. Like just wanting to do it. That's that popularity shit.
Yeah.
The internet shit. You know, so it gotta be like, man, you know, and I don't wanna be like, I feel like for me, I'll tell you straight up, like, I'm a fucking party killer.
Huh.
Really.
Huh.
When you win though,
know what I'm saying? Yeah, when you win, though.
When you win, you're like, oh, shit, we won.
Yeah.
You're so used to losing.
He said, he said, God, bro.
Losing and partying at the same time.
Right, losing and partying. Bro, what are you partying for right now? It feels different when you're winning and you do something.
Yeah. You win so much. I take winning so like losing. That's you know, it's like, oh, I won. I ain't about to be celebrating. Popping it on, nigga. All right, I can make it next week. Yeah. Because it sustains for so long.
It's great, bro.
I gotta get. Think about when they play football on Sunday.
Yeah.
Nigga, on Monday, back to practice.
Come on. They back to studying.
They back to working out. They back in their body together.
Yeah. That's what separates the consistent winners, right? Than the one-time winners. Because like you said, after you win, you come off and you're smiling. Everybody looks like you're thinking about the next. So one time I got asked, right? And this is before the business was even kind of popping, right? It was I did an interview for the public health in one of the news stations, right? And it was like kind of a day in my life. I took her to the hood and everything, met with my first little homie, all this stuff. And then she was like, she's coming back to my apartment, right? And I'm in an apartment right now. I got a better condo now, but I was in an apartment, right? And she said, how does it feel to have reached success? I said, success. And I'm like, you know, for me, I'm like, this is nowhere near success. Now, outside looking in, it might look like something like that, but I'm a firm believer in this, right? I believe that you build your vision so vast, your goal so big, the little shit that you do in between seems great to the world.
Yeah.
But it's for you, it's like, nah. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
Yeah, but what's next? What's next?
Yeah.
I'm not saying the fucking building burning down, but there's little fires.
That's what it is. Yes. Yes.
I'm not gonna let you catch me like,
yeah. Right. Hey, I like that. I like that. I ain't gonna let you catch me like the house burned down. Nah, this house ain't burning down. That's real talk. Yeah.
My shit ain't really allowed to burn.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
It's like, nigga, come on. All the heaters off, candles. You know, you're gonna double check.
Yeah. Leave
that shit.
Let it go.
Ain't gonna be an earthquake. This shit gonna fall over. Yeah. That's my life.
Right. Right.
Shit might fall over. Like, ain't no candle. Like, this shit fell over and it just. This shit a catch.
Yeah.
For those of you watching, wondering who that deep voice is, that's
Big Frankie Hustle.
Oh, yeah.
Big Frankie. That's Frankie Hustle. Dropping gems. Yes, yes. And you know, this is big because I don't know if Frankie's ever even been on a legendary show, but really? He's here today. I appreciate the gems. I appreciate you being
Frankie
here.
Frankie got gems. You got
all day. Gems. I can listen. I haven't been over to the house in a minute, but yeah, we would just go over there and just listen to Frankie.
Come on.
But yeah, I do. Yes.
Yeah. That's important, though. It is. You got to have people in your life that do that to
every time somebody new comes into the fold, and they're like, man, he's so negative. I'm like, nah, man. He be with the shit.
Yeah.
Everybody's been every person is stock. Every person is.
I have never said that.
Maybe not you.
I have never said that.
Yeah, but that's because we already know what he's doing already.
Right.
And me and you are the type here that don't give a fuck what he's talking about anyway.
Yeah. No, we do.
We're gonna do what we want to do. Right. So if you have that mentality, it's nice to have somebody like, okay, but he's making sure that so
he's giving you some options. Right. Like, make sure you're checking. Yeah.
I'm gonna do this, but now I know to watch out for all the shit that this nigga didn't say.
Right. You got it. Like, I appreciate that. Yeah. Come on.
Where can you go if I'm a 14-year-old nigga?
Right.
Yeah. It used to be the Y, the Boys and Girls Club. Right. We used to have the little dances, a bunch of different stuff that we could do.
Come on. Right, you know his rules. You gotta go through a certain structure.
Not smoking. Yeah. He's smoking,
yeah,
he grown.
Yeah.
Well, I hope.
Ooh, you could even be in the room with the wrong. Come what?
I'm on the phone, you gotta go.
Yes, yes, man. Yes.
They smoking with them. They talking grown folk.
All this stuff. Can we say that?
Watch these. You gotta watch shows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, YouTube.
Very big vocabulary. Yeah, yeah. Bro, hey,
hey, that's the realest shit.
No, for real.
My, one day, my son was like, I was like, what do you want to drink? He was like, for the beverage.
Not for the beverage.
And I was like, for the beverage. For the beverage?
Yeah.
Who the fuck? Who you talking to?
Threw you off, right?
Right.
I think we definitely need to reach together. I think we definitely need to, like, I know a lot of people that have either tuned into this podcast or are going to watch it later because they're scared that we're going to see them tune into this podcast or just when we stream it on all the platforms. I know a lot of people that do business. I know a lot of people who have children. I know a lot of people who can come together and do something for the children. You might not know what it is. Like, I don't know what it is, but just sitting here with you, I'm inspired and I want to do my part to do something. We had talked about me, like, I don't want to talk about it, but we had talked about me doing something to help like younger girls in situations that I've been in before. And so maybe we can make something like that happen. Also just like using like the resources that we have people that are throwing parties. We have people that are throwing events. We have people who have makeup lines and girls who sell bundles. Like, I would want to do something like makeovers for little girls or help them go and be presentable for an interview or how to start their own business.
Right.
Lip gloss, eyelashes, stuff that girls are into.
LX3 is trying to open up the space.
Yes, we have this wonderful music space, LX3 Studio.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, and I have been talking. For sure. I wanted to talk to you guys about trying to do something for like the youth. Like when it comes to music,
for sure.
Like I want to do like, you know,
got the whole studio upstairs.
Does the open mic. I want to do something where we can like maybe develop some of these kids that want to do, that want to be a rapper. Have them around you guys because they're going to look up to you and to post content and teach them things.
Yes. Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. They got to be that structure.
So I definitely think that's something that we should all work together. I feel inspired and hopefully that we can make that happen within the new year.
Most definitely 2024. Let's do it.
Before we get up out of here, because we are reaching our time, I want to kind of touch on something that I feel like has been something that I have noticed and have been observing. Most of Legendary Dope Show episodes and segments come from things that I observe. People are going through current events, things like that. I feel like people's mental health right now and depression is very real. Life is lifing has been like the hashtag for me anyways. Right. I know that you're a very inspirational person, but you're human. So I'm sure that there's been times where you, what is that phrase that I'm looking for? Like you're helping people, but who's going to help you? You know, like who's going to help you in your time? Yeah. So, is there like a person that you talk to or has there ever been like a time where you're just like, damn, I'm in a dark place, but I'm like going to keep pushing. I'm still going to be inspirational to the people around me. Like you got 146 kids that are, you know, in some way, shape or form in your face all week, you know, and you could be going through some stuff in your life. So how do you prepare for that? How do you stay focused in that when life is lifing for you?
Real quick, I want to give a quick short story that happened similar to that.
Okay.
Where I actually went the wrong way from it, but thank God I had somebody. And then currently, so when I first touched down, a lot of people don't know this, right? This is when I had to book out and everything. I just broke up with the girlfriend I had. I had paid all the stuff myself. And I was stopped the one job to go to the Y, but it was like a 3-month lag in between me getting hired. So I had no money, you know? And so I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go back to some street stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So I got back in, I got back into dabbling in what I was doing, which is, you know, it has to do with someone to do it, some with a girl. And getting some money, right? you can put it together how you want to put it together, right?
Yeah.
So I went. I went back to that for a minute, man. Not to make it funny, y'all, but I'm like, that's really what happened.
L will make it funny.
I know. Right? I went back to that though, bro. I went back to what I had known at the moment, right? And so I was out there. I'm about 4, 5, 6 in the morning figuring it out. I'm making plans to slide out to here and there and da da da, right? I'm almost about to lose it. And what happened is one day I was on Aurora, right? I was on Aurora sitting out there and this one cat drove by and I was thinking like, ooh, this is hot. I need a banger. Bing! I said, oh, shit. I just need to get a gun. I'm thinking about a way to go get another gun. Right. I just got out for shooting. Right. I'm like, wait a minute, bro. They might not be. So that made me think, and I called somebody that was a big mentor for me at the time. Her name was Mama Candace, right? She knew me when I was in prison, right? Her husband had did 20-something years. He mentored me when I was in there. And I called her and I talked to her, bro. And I don't remember exactly everything she told me, but she said enough to make me snap out of it. And I went and borrowed one of the homegirls' Instacart IDs things. And I Instacart for 3 months. I paid my rent on Instacart, bro.
Nice.
For 3 months, bro.
For all you niggas out here can't figure it out.
Right.
Instacart.
Look. Instacart,
DoorDash.
He didn't even have a license. He just borrowed somebody else's shit.
You gotta say you got a bike.
You figured it out. Figure it out.
If you really, really, really want to stay out of the bullshit, you're going to do whatever you can to stay out of the bullshit. Yeah, right,
sure.
But excuse me, fast forward to what we're talking about now. So a lot of my mentors I had before I had got out, and when I was first out, they're no longer like they're living their life, right? People get out, they go, you know, people grow apart. Some of them unfortunately went back to prison, some of them are dead now, right? So I found myself at this one point just standing on this island by myself where I was now the mentor, right? But what I started doing when that happened, and I don't claim to be a super religious individual, right? I started praying, so now I pray. I find myself praying a lot more now, and I pray, and I talk to God, and I talk to my therapist. So those are the main people. Now, other people get pieces of what I'm going through just to have that healthy conversation, but God and my therapist, bro. Yeah. Shout out to them.
No, for real. No, seriously.
For real.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
All the time.
Thank you.
God is somebody
thank
I talk
you, brother.
To all the
I might
time,
not be at your church, but I'm having a conversation with you.
Exactly.
Real talk. But if you remember, Jesus' church is anywhere.
Yep.
That's your relationship.
Yep. And I don't I don't have to go to a church in order to do that.
Thank you.
So
thank you, bro.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's your own. That's all it is, bro. That's all it is, man.
He's gonna shoot you, bro. He know you. He know you better than him.
Come on.
Yep.
Him and yourself.
Come on. Come on. Cool. You know, y'all only two know each other.
You gotta pause, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Just sit in it sometimes and be honest with yourself.
You know,
that's the biggest thing. Like,
people are scared of that.
Yeah.
To look in that mirror.
Man.
It's a hell of a vision.
It's a
bro.
Man, bro.
You know what I'm saying? So, I think those are the things that, like you said, man, God and yourself, and you know, like you said, you'll spread it around with people just to.
Yeah,
you know, because some people you're gonna call, you know, they just gonna have some, they're gonna hate you smiling, mm-hmm. you that laughter,
that's real, yeah. Yes,
oh, my day, you're like, nigga, yes, about
my day. Right. Let me, yeah, yeah, right, on everything, bro.
Give me five,
you know yeah,
because you are the one that everybody calls.
Come on, come on,
that's a big
come
responsibility,
on.
Too.
Yeah.
And it can be draining.
Come on.
It can be draining.
Come on. Yeah, right. They look at
my mentor is, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Lower your battery. Fast. Fast, bro.
So mental health.
Fast.
Yeah. A lot of people are depressed. Right
yes.
Now.
That they are.
I got to get outside real quick. 5 o'clock come because 5 o'clock to me is like 8 o'clock, man.
Come on, it is. It is.
No lie. I was just looking at when you opened the door, I was like, God damn.
Right. You're like, what?
It's 9 o'clock outside?
For real, though. For real, man. For real.
So you got to be strong and push yourself to continue to go. You might not be over.
Yeah. Ooh. Come on.
That used to be the only time I could get a hold of you was on the late night.
You got to change my life a little bit.
You're just like, I'm up. Hey. He's like, I'm up late. So hit me up. I'm like, okay. I'm like,
all
right. Yeah. Hey, right.
He be in there working. He's
yeah, when everybody else
came up, he done got my pictures done. He got everything done in the late night.
Yeah.
Facts. The phone's not going off that much. Shit. I like working at night.
Yeah. I've never heard it like that. I ain't on nobody's list unless it's a call. I ain't on nobody's list. I'm doing my thing. I like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Let's see. Do you have anything else? Do you have any like self-care routines that you have for yourself?
Yeah, I do, man. I get up. I get up before the sun. I do my best to get up before the sun. You know, right now it's not that hard. But yeah, I try to get up between 5 and 6 latest, you know, and what I do first is I sit there and I just, my version of meditation, I just close my eyes and I just envision, you know, I vision the me at 35, 40, 45, 50. And I do it as much till I can feel it, till I can smell that individual, right? And then I come back and I pray. Then after I pray, I get up, I go get my coffee, I sit down, and I listen to some kind of video that's going to inspire me and get me going. And that's an important component. Next, I go to the gym. And in the gym, I work out, and I go sit in the sauna, and I meditate one more, then I start my day. Nice. So my day after that starts probably about 8:30 in the morning after the gym and everything's set. That's when I get my day.
What's your cup of coffee?
A cup of coffee. Oh, what is it?
Yeah.
It's Starbucks Blonde Roast.
Blonde Roast.
You don't like the Starbucks?
Oh, my God.
This nigga, he go to all the, like, the little hole-in-the-wall tiny.
I like because they got the white coffee.
I like white coffee. Yeah.
I love white coffee, man. I do like the white coffee. I got the little pods though at home. Bro, when I seen that when I got out, I was like, I'm gonna tell you the funny thing, right? Listen, I remember when I was hearing about it, an air fryer in there. Like having the air fryer, like before it was like, bro, I'm like, so I was talking, it might be a dumb question. People started laughing. I was like, so isn't that kind of dangerous? Like if I put my hand, like, there's no oil or nothing's gonna fry my hand. They're like, it doesn't really work like that. But if you put your hand in the thing after you close it somehow, but yeah, that's it was cool to me. The Keurigs, the scooters all over the place. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
I love that shit. I love the shit downtown. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hop off the bus and just hop on a scooter.
Just hop on a scooter. Hey, you know? Right. Hey, look at you. There was some great components that came with that. Hey, that's second funny. But yeah, that's definitely my routine, man. Definitely.
I love that. And I think that taking care of your mental health, making time for self-care, those are all very important things. Even when life is lifing, I mean, we cannot help when life is lifing. We just have to make sure that we can just fight through the storm and just get through it. I think that I just want to thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, for
this
sure.
This was a wonderful episode. I feel like I'm back. Yeah. I don't know when I'll be back, but you know.
It feels good always when we're here.
Yeah, so tell them where they can find you, socials, websites, books.
Hold this up. Yeah, I got you. You got it. All right. You can find me at IG at The Prolific Tay. That's TheProlificTae.
It's right there. It's right there on the screen too.
It's right there on the screen, man. Facebook is Devontae Parson, man. And if I could leave a final message, because you said life is life, and right. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that my brother, big shout out to my brother Slim, man. He told me it's like a pendulum, and I drew a whole discussion off that, right? So it's like a pendulum, right? You're always coming out of some shit, but you're about to go into some shit. Right. But if the pendulum's going back here, it's going to have to go back here, which means it has to come back there. So you're always coming out and going in. But in that middle is where you get the time to enjoy these moments and these memories. It's the time that you get to feel fulfilled. It's the time you get to feel joy. And they might be quick, but they're important to have. So in those middle moments, you enjoy every fucking piece of that, because your next shit's coming right after. But it's going to come back. It's going to be better. You feel me? That's all. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And L, where can we find you?
You can find me on everything at Long Live L Rock. I'm just working. Yeah, that's it.
Anything coming out?
We got a whole bunch of shit coming out, so it's kind of hard to even.
He's always working.
Okay. Wait, I look around my manager. That. This nigga talking about some.
I love that. Oh, man. I love that.
Well. I love it too. Elle is always working. You're one of the hardest people I know. You make me look cool on this beautiful podcast. Thank you so much for coming. My name is Alicia Michelle.
Hell yeah.
All you have to do is look up The Legendary Dope Show. We are on all streaming platforms. I am Alicia Michelle on social media. You can just look up my name and then I just pop up. It's just really wonderful. I have some events coming up. December 3rd, we have Slide Through Sunday in Tacoma, Washington. All the time. So make sure you guys come out at the McKinley Art Lounge. And we also have a holiday Christmas party. And we're going to have dancers. We're going to have VIP. We're going to have a good ass time. So make sure that you guys tap in with us. I want to thank everybody who tuned in to this very special episode. Remember, there are two things that never go out of style. Being legendary and being dope.
Good night, you guys. I'm talking about.
Yeah. This is legendary, baby. feel like a legend in his prime, baby. You gotta understand my greatness. I done been 0 to 100 real quick and back to zero again. I done played every mob boss in the city like Robert De Niro in there. Fuck the suckers, tired of hearing from them. 40 hit him at a damn inch. I am not the type.